Lord, what is this world coming to? What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. We hope and pray that you've been having a good day. And actually, I want you to have a great day. Amen, amen, amen. I want this to be one of the best days of your life. And it can be. It can be. Listen, happiness is a choice. Did you hear what I said? Happiness is a choice. You got to, you choose to be happy. You choose to be sad. You choose to let problems get you down. Listen, listen, listen. Don't let nothing get you down. Like Paul said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, I was knocked down, but not knocked out. Listen, listen. So you got to see, you done been knocked down, but you're not knocked out. So get up, dust yourself off, pick yourself back up, and get on back out there. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Because the race is not to the fastest or to the swiftest, but it's to the one that endureth until the end. I'm so happy to have you this morning in the Situation Room. Ooh, I just look forward to coming to the Situation Room to deal with these issues. These Bible questions and marriage questions, and I just look forward to it, look forward to it. And because of your listenership, you have made the Situation Room the number one show on KLITB. So thank you for your listenership. All right, and now this morning we'll be looking at Bible questions and answers, Bible questions and answers. Let me give out some contact information just in case you would like us to answer one of your Bible questions, or you got a marriage question, or you got a hot topic, or just a question pertaining to the Christian life that you want us to deal with. You can email them in here at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. That's BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com. Or you can phone them in at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. All right. All right. All right. Let me go on now and get these Bible questions. We got some good questions today. We got some good, some real good questions today. Let's see here. Let me get my Bible. Listen, you don't want somebody trying to give you Bible answers without a Bible. So let me get my Bible. I got my Bible. You got your Bible? All right. Well, let's go ahead and answer some of these questions. The first question, what is a reprobate mind? What is a reprobate mind? And how do you know if you got a reprobate mind? Oh, those are two good questions. All right. First question, what is a reprobate mind? Well, a reprobate mind is a depraved mind or no good mind. It's a morally corrupt mind. That's what you're talking about when the Bible says about a reprobate mind. That's what you're talking about. You're talking about a depraved mind, an immoral mind, a no good mind. You know, a lot of time you talk about, you know, people say that's just a no good man. Well, a no good man is a man that's got a no good mind. You know, depraved man is a man that's got a depraved mind. A no good woman is a woman that's got a no good mind. It starts in the mind. It starts in the mind and in the heart. So a reprobate mind is an immoral mind, a no good mind, a morally corrupt mind. That's what we're talking about. We're just talking about their mind done went bad. They got a bad mind. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about when it's a reprobate mind. Now, the second part of your question, excuse me, was how do you know if you got a reprobate mind? Excuse me. How do you know if you got a reprobate mind? Well, the question I want to know is your mind morally corrupt? Have you sunk into some gross sin like homosexuality, bestiality? Have you sunk into some gross sin? Are you stuck in some gross sin? Then if you stuck in some gross sin, chances are you got a reprobate mind. As a matter of fact, let's just turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, because that's what it talks about, a reprobated mind, over there in Romans chapter 1. Look at what the Bible says over in Romans chapter 1. Verse number 21. We'll start there and we'll just continue to keep reading. You got your Bible? You with me? All right. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man and to bird, four-footed beast, and creeping thing. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to disown their own bodies between themselves. Let me stop right there. Because what you see here, you see the steps to depravity. You see the steps to depravity. Did you see that? The way that you get to a reprobated mind, there are some steps. You just don't all of a sudden one day you just have a reprobate mind. There are some steps to a reprobate mind. See, step number one is when they knew God. When a person know God and they glorify him not as God, that's step one. Step two, neither were they thankful. When a person is not thankful, they're at the second stage. And then step three, but became vain in their imagination. They started imagining crazy stuff. like homosexual stuff. They started just imagining. See, before a person commit homosexual acts, they start having homosexual thoughts. They start imagining stuff. And then the fourth step is their foolish hearts was darkened. They begin to have a dark heart. And see, when a person have a foolish heart, that means they're leaving God outside of their thinking. See, the Bible says a fool says in his heart there is no God. And then number five, professing themselves to be wise, they became a fool. You couldn't tell them nothing. And then number six, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. They got into idol worship. And so they started worshiping other things, false gods, rather than the true and the living God. And their false god could even be money. It could be sex. But then look at verse 24. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to own their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who's blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Notice, we're talking about lesbian here. Women didn't want to get with the men, but they wanted to get with other women. And likewise, also men's leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one towards another, men's with men's, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malign, and whisper, backbiters, hater of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil thing, disobedience to parents. Look at that. You see that? God gave them over to a reprobate mind. See, that's what happened. And see, a person can keep trying to go into sin, and God is roadblocking them. But there comes a time that God will step out the way, and then God will go ahead and turn you on over. He'll just let you have your way. And so that's the thing about this reprobate mind. They don't want to think godly thoughts. They want to think these, in this case here, homosexual thoughts. And so God said, okay, well, have at it then. God turned them over. See, three times in this text, did you notice that? Verse number 24, it says, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Then verse 26, it said, for this call, God gave them up unto vile affection, just crazy stuff. And then in verse number 28, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And so that's what we're talking about. We're saying a no good mind. When you got a lot of no good stuff on your mind, you're in the danger zone. You're in the danger zone because God can just say, okay, well, if that's what you want to think about all day long, I'll just let you think about it. I'll just get out your way and let you think about that. And so that's what we're talking about when we say God gave them up to a reprobate mind. In other words, God done took down the roadblocks, and God's gonna let you have your way. All right, and it's a no good way. All right, so what is a reprobate mind? A reprobate mind is a depraved mind, a no good mind. That's what we're talking about. All right, and let's move on to the second question. Is being tempted the same as sin? Is being tempted the same as sin. No, 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 no. There's a difference between being tempted and sin. Temptation is like the cheese on the trap. The sin is when you start eating the cheese or lusting after the cheese on the trap. So you can be tempted. You can see the cheese on the trap. But as long as you don't try to get that cheese or start lusting after that cheese, then you hadn't sinned. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, all of us are tempted to sin every day. All of us are tempted. Jesus was tempted to sin. Look over there in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. You'll see the story of Jesus being tempted by the devil to turn the stones into bread. Don't you remember that? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, matter of fact, verse 1 says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. See, the Spirit led Jesus to be tempted. He didn't lead Jesus to sin. There's a difference between sinning and being tempted to sin. And so the Spirit led Jesus out in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, for the devil to tempt Jesus any way that he could. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But Jesus says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. And the devil tempted Jesus 3 times, but Jesus did not sin. Not one time. Matter of fact, look at it. Look at that story again. And the Bible says in verse 5, then the devil taking him into the holy city and set at him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. So the devil now is quoting the Bible, but he misquoted the Bible. He misquoted the Bible. And that's the thing about the devil. The devil, he takes the Bible and he uses it for his own use, and he often misquotes it. But look what Jesus said. Jesus came back and said, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So Jesus, that time, he comes back again with the word of God. Verse number 8, again the devil taketh him into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. And so you think the devil was going to quit? The Bible says in verse number 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So the devil left for a season. But 3 times, I wanted you to see, 3 times the devil came and tempted Jesus, and Jesus says, it's written, it's written, it's written, because Jesus stayed with the word. He was able to beat the devil, and he was able to chase that devil out of his life. He was able to make the devil run. The Bible says that in verse 11, the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came. See, if you just hold on just a little while longer, as the songwriters say, everything will be all right after a while. God will send some help. Help is on the way. So being tempted to sin and sinning is 2 different things. It's 2 different things. So if you've been tempted to sin, then That's different from the very act of sin. All of us are tempted to sin. Jesus was tempted to sin, but you saw right there in the story, Jesus didn't sin. Matter of fact, there's another scripture over here in, let's see, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 4, that's over near the end of the Bible. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. It says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You see that? Jesus was tempted, but he didn't sin. So it's two different things. To be tempted to sin is different from the actual sin. All right. All right. Look like we may have time to get one more question in here. Let's see, can we get this other question in here? This is a good question. Does God still speak in an audible voice? Does God still speak in an audible voice? Well, let me just answer that yes and no. Yes and no. It's yes in one sense, because God can speak in an audible voice if he chooses to speak in an audible voice, because God is God, and so he's sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do. So that's why I said in one sense, yes, because he, by the very nature of him being God, if God want to pop open the sky and speak right now in an audible voice, yes, he can. But for the most part, no. For the most part, no. Because God has chosen not to speak in an audible voice because he's already done spoken. Yeah, for the most part, God is not going to speak in an audible voice. Why? Because God done spent 4,000 years writing this Bible. He done gave you a Bible. Now, if you would spend 4 years in writing a book, wouldn't you want folks to read it? You wouldn't have to go around and speak. Not necessarily, because you already done put it down on pen and paper. It's just like when the teacher at school, a lot of time we would have a substitute school teacher, but the teacher would leave instructions with the other teacher on what we supposed to do that day. Well, the teacher didn't have to come back and call in on the telephone and speak in an audible voice to the class. Why? Because she wrote instructions. In the same way, God done wrote instructions. And so he don't necessarily have to pop open the sky and speak in an audible voice because he done wrote instructions. Look, let me show you that in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world." Did you see that? God in sundry time, in different times and in different manners, spoke in time past to the fathers. He spoke, number one, by the prophets, and he spoke in different ways. He spoke in different ways, in different manners. But in these last days, he's spoken unto us by his Son. We're in the last days, ladies and gentlemen. And how did he do that? Jesus, he came on this earth, and he got some. He got 12 disciples, which eventually became apostles. And most of those apostles, a couple of those apostles, they wrote books and stuff. And so that's what the New Testament is all about. Paul wrote 13 books. John wrote some books. Peter wrote some books. And so the apostles, they wrote these books. And so God says, I've already done spoken. And so that's what we need to do. We need to pay attention to what God has already spoken. Let me give you one more scripture. 2 Timothy. Because sometimes people say, don't I need something else, though, besides the Bible? Don't I need, some more revelation, knowledge? You know, don't I need some special revelation, knowledge, you know, from God that I can do God's will? No. The Bible has everything you need in order to do God's will. Look, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Look at what the Bible says. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why did God do that? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. So whatever God needs you to do, all you got to do is read the Bible. You read your Bible. And the Bible is the instruction manual, and the scripture says it's profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Everything you need is right there. It's right there in the Word of God. All right, well, I sure do thank you today. Look like the clock on the wall is saying that's going to be all for us. We got those three questions in today. And we hope that something was said, something was done to help you on your Christian journey. All right, let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready to come on with a counselor by the name of June Hunt. This lady, I mean, she's a very, very good counselor. So we're going to give you the truth here on KLITB. So you stay tuned for Miss June Hunt. Then at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama, real live people. It'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, Mr. Denise's program, guess what? We began to rebroadcast then. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.